fun.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I have music from Caribou, Jacques Green, and Charlotte Day Wilson. Kicking things off, this is Braids with Amends.
Softness, a heart show. While the soul is here to hold it.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily. Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Thank you.
Savage, this is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Jacques Green, Cadence Weapon, and Justin Strauss with their track Night Service. That was off the Arts Crafts label. Up next is my track La Musique.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Sean Savage. You're listening to Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Charlotte Day Wilson. We'll find you. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Music doesn't need a visa. 有些声音不用翻译也能听懂。No genre limits. Kokumonai. I'm your host, Hai Tong Ni. Tune in Thursday morning in 10 a.m. on CFRC. This is.From CN to CA.
Hi, this is Jen Grant, and you're listening to CFRC in Kingston.
Hello, I am Genevieve Hinch, and you're tuned in to the Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. Hi everyone, welcome back. This week, I've got a really exciting episode for you. We are going to be talking about an event that's been a part of my life for truly as long as I can remember. It's been going on forever now. It is the Skeleton Park Arts Festival, of course, and I've known and attended this festival since I was a little girl. And I know I'm not the only one in Kingston who looks forward to it every year, so I'm excited to chat a little bit about it today. It is taking place this year on June 19th to the 21st. The Skeleton Park Arts Festival has become one of Kingston's most beloved summer traditions for sure, and it started way back in 2006 as a small community arts festival and has grown into this citywide celebration, of course, of music, art, culture, and just true community efforts. So every year, thousands and thousands of people gather at McBurney Park and enjoy incredible performances. People discover local artists and connect with everything that makes Kingston's art scene so truly special. And one of the things that have always made this festival stand out to me, and I'm sure for many of you, is that it is completely free, making it accessible to everyone while still bringing in this amazing lineup of local and national artists. So it is now celebrating its 20th year as a festival, and it truly continues to stay true to the community roots while also growing bigger each year. And I love watching it grow and just develop and expand into this amazing, amazing event in Kingston. So to talk a little bit about this year's festival and how it all begun and what people can expect in 2026, I'm joined by the founding director and longtime artistic director of the Skeleton Park Arts Festival, Greg Tilson. So I want to thank Greg so much for coming on The Curator and enjoy this interview. It is a great one for sure. All right. Hello, everyone. Today, I am joined by Greg Tilson, founding artistic director of the Skeleton Park Arts Festival. Returning June 19th to 21st, SPAF has become one of Kingston's most beloved arts festivals, bringing together music, visual arts, theater, workshops, and community programming, all completely free to attend. So Greg has been involved since the very beginning, helping grow all the festival to what it is so beautifully today. So Greg, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Genevieve.
Really appreciate it. And so this year's festival runs from June 19th to 21st and definitely features many performers and artists. So when you are putting this together for the 2026 lineup, what were you most excited to bring to the community this year?
Well, one thing that happened this year, which was pretty exciting for me, myself and co-artistic director Saul Castaneda put together the lineup, you know, over a number of months, you know, since the kind of the winter and into the new year, and talking with artists and putting together a lineup that, like, SPAF is pretty renowned for eclectic programming, you know, that mm-hmm. we're all across the map, both as like multi-arts programming, but also like bands and musicians and collectives from all kinds of different genres. There's literally something for everybody. But after we looked at the lineup, I'm looking at it in front of me here. It's on the back page of the Skeleton Press. We just kind of realized, oh my gosh, this is almost entirely women. Women and kind of gender diverse voices and artists. And I just thought that was really cool because it was an accident. You know, like quite often, like everybody knows that women are considered a marginalized voice, especially in the music industry. It's so male dominated. And so, you know, it's important that programmers like program with intention and make sure that voices that aren't usually heard have a chance and can be featured and highlighted and introduced to audiences. And in this case, it just was an accident that all of a sudden we look at an almost entire program of women and gender diverse voices. And I just think that's a really good sign that we're just doing it anyway without intention. Mm-hmm. So that was the most exciting moment for me this year, working with Saul to put together the program.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's great. What a great, just even if it happens to be an accident. Yeah, great accident.
Yeah, it's like a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one thing that I truly love about SPAF is that you really get to see both local Kingston artists and performers across Canada. So how do you go about creating a lineup that has a bit of both, both local and just bands from Canada?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think over the years, you know, audience development for local artists has been an important component of you know, how we try to serve the local arts community. And so that, you know, that can mean, depending on our budget, right? Because we're a free festival.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be challenging. But to have, like, a national level voice that lifts up, say, an emerging artist. And so an example of that might be Hannah Georges, I would say, originally out of Vancouver or somewhere in BC, Vancouver, Victoria, I can't remember which one, but now actually living in Belleville and starting her own festival called A Beautiful View. People should check it out if they haven't already. It started last year. But yeah, Hannah Georges, I would say, is like a national level artist. You know, she's touring the world right now with Matt Berenger, from The National. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of The National, like kind of international superstar rock musicians. So yeah, I think like having, if you look at the artists leading up to Hannah Georges, like 47 Teeth, they're a really popular local kind of emo punk band. Anna Robertson, Dee Prescott are kind of the lead voices in that band. And so, you know, they're definitely like continuing to try to build audience both in Kingston and beyond. So I think, you know, the theory is that people will come from around the Kingston area and hopefully like other cities too, like Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal, maybe New York. Sometimes we get people from coming across the border, and then they stumble upon a local musician, like local musicians like 47 Teeth. And so that's the idea, is that we try to like bring people from far and wide, and then they're introduced to local musicians. Mm-hmm. Does that help answer your question, Genevieve?
Yes, for cool. Sure. Yeah. I think, and that's again a prime example of how this festival truly has a little bit for everyone. You've got your local artists, people spanning from Canada, and just so many great genres for people to listen to. And of course, this festival has become so much more than just a music festival, for sure, nowadays. And so it's grown to be this beautiful festival, lots of many different art forms. So when you're planning this weekend, how do you go about kind of balancing all these different art forms and make sure everyone's getting a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I think honestly, that often just depends on partnerships with other organizations. It's no secret that throughout the history of the festival, the most successful moments, I say this quite often, are often a result of partnerships. You know, like it's about who we're working with in our communities that really like elevate the program. And so, you know, I think of, for example, in the past, this Department of Illumination, this really cool art collective out of west of Kingston, closer to the county. And they started this really cool art initiative called a couple of different things over the years, like Boxtopia or Cardboardia Village, or they make this magical visual art, interactive, participatory village made of cardboard. And it's like, it's really cool interactive art for, the whole family kind of thing, like all ages. And so that's been, you know, just a winner every year we work with them. Or I think back to, the Reel Out Queer Film Festival in Kingston, like they literally started drag queen story time, you know, like that, it was at the Skelton Park Festival. That was the first one. And it, I know it's hard for people, maybe for listeners to believe this, but like Matt Salton like started that. And now it's like national and international in scope in terms of drag queen story times. Like they're super popular, and it started in Kingston with Reel Out. So that's another example of like partnerships. They bring their program to SPAF and it shines. You know, another one is Movement Market. Kay Kenny, who's the artistic director for the Kingston School of Dance, she's brought incredible dance program, programming to Skeldon Park over the years, you know, literally dancing in the streets of the neighborhood and kind of workshops and that kind of thing. So yeah, I think anytime you look at something really cool that SPAF's doing, chances are it's in partnership with another organization that's really like elevating the whole like multi-arts approach that we try to do.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's one thing I truly, truly love about this festival. You can definitely see just the collaboration that it fosters truly among all these amazing organizations we have in Kingston. So I really love that aspect of it. And kind of talking more specifically towards this year's festival, there definitely seems to be something new for everyone to discover as the festival grows. So for you specifically, Greg, is there anything particular, like an artist, event, workshop, or a hidden gem in this year's festival that you think people should definitely not miss?
Yeah, good question. I'm just looking at the program again. If you look at 6 o'clock on Saturday, June 20th, there's something called Raw Taiko, and we should have put this on the program, that Raw stands for Raging Asian Women, and it's this really cool kind of, alternative taiko, like kind of interpreting the traditional Japanese art form of taiko drumming in a different way. And they're coming out of Toronto. They're all women. I think there's like, you know, more than a half a dozen of them, like probably 8 to 10. And, yeah, they're going to just take over the park, right? It'll be by the main stage, but like you can imagine that many drummers, which is, you know, there's a history of drumming for sure in the park. Like there's always some kind of drumming component at the festival and throughout the year. And so, yeah, I'm really excited again with the theme of women artists, like to see what these raging Asian women taiko artists do. And it's, again, partnership with Kyoko Ogoda is a local taiko artist, and she founded a program called King's Dawn Taiko, which is still very active, and I'm sure they'll be out in full force in Skeldon Park on June 20th. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it's a shining example of kind of a cultural experience that's going to be really powerful in the park.
Yeah. Wow, that seems like a great event. Definitely looking forward to checking that out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, one thing that I think makes SPAF really so unique is that it's completely free to attend. So in a time where many of these festivals are facing rising costs, why has keeping this festival accessible remained such an important part of its identity?
Yeah, you know, I feel like the festival, you know, the neighborhood, the Skeldon Park neighborhood has evolved so much over the years. And, you know, when I first moved to town and I was working at this cooperative downtown called the Sleepless Goat Cafe, and it was a lot of my coworkers and members of the McBurney Park Neighborhood Association and just tons of artists in the Skeldon Park neighborhood who started the festival 21 years ago, like kind of on the heels of the McBurney Park Neighborhood Association annual summer solstice picnic. And so, yeah, I think as everyone knows, like gentrification has just taken over the neighborhood. And so it's less and less affordable, especially for artists. You know, folks, as you move further north and into different like income brackets, you know, different backgrounds, cultural, racial, so on, like not everyone has the same access to you know, arts experiences that's appropriate for them. And so, you know, that's the beauty of this organization. We're this scrappy little grassroots neighborhood festival that programs year round, but you know, we have this mandate to try to make it as welcoming and as accessible as possible. And of course, one of the key components these days in the increasing cost of living is the accessible the accessibility with regards to finances and just being able to access neighborhood programming without, you know, the barrier of having to pay a ticket. Mm-hmm. So that just continues to be like at the root of our mandate and our history and where we come from, you know, like it just starting from this little neighborhood picnic in the park. And so it's important that we continue to do that. And, you know, I can't help but take this moment to encourage people to go to skeletonparkartsfest.ca and, you know, to put it bluntly, click that donate button. Because yeah, we rely so much on donations. Mm-hmm. And grants. And so you can go to Canada Helps, and it's a charity site that's accessible through our website. And you can donate as little as, you know, $5 a month, or some people donate $100 a month. But like, it's, you know, to see like these local donations come in, like, especially if you can set it up on a monthly basis, that just helps us program and know that there's going to be money for next year.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I'm so truly happy that the festival has kept this amazing ideal even through its growth and expansions, because truly it is a great opportunity and gives so much accessibility to people in Kingston, and it's just a great event. And so for listeners who maybe haven't had the chance to attend SPAF before or maybe new to the city, what do you think surprises people most when they experience the festival for the first time?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think someone maybe coming from out of town or new to town or a different part of Kingston, Cataraqui, Kingston, like, you know, stumbling upon Skeleton Park, I think is usually pretty joyous experience for people, like any time of year, honestly. But, you know, on the festival weekend, the June 19th to 21st weekend, I should add, by the way, that Saturday, June 20th is going to be kind of a cool alignment with downtown programming, because Princess Street will be closed for the promenade. And so I think it's going to, you know, there'll be a real festive vibe going on in, mm-hmm. in our city that weekend. And from downtown Princess Street, you know, if you hang a left on Clergy and just head north, you'll hit Skeleton Park. And probably the thing to answer your question that will strike people is just the intimacy of it, you know, just to like stumble across this neighborhood that is incredibly vibrant, incredibly artistic, but just super friendly and welcoming. And I think anybody that strolls through Skeleton Park on this weekend or any time of year, really, like, will feel that intimacy and welcoming. And yeah, again, that's what we're trying to foster, like that, like building community through the arts vibe. And so my guess is that if you're new to the Skeleton Park Arts Festival, that's probably the first thing that will really strike you, like compared to maybe more traditional events in theaters or ticketed shows or, you know, big money festivals or corporate events and that kind of thing. It's really nothing like that. It's something that feels more like friends and family.
For sure. Definitely. And now, Greg, you've been a part of the festival for more than 2 decades, which is pretty incredible. How has Kingston's art community kind of changed since the very first SPAF? And how has the festival kind of evolved alongside it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question. I think maybe if I were to give an example, because there's, you know, so many art forms in town, and mm-hmm. it really is a thriving arts community. It really is a thriving arts neighborhood. But, you know, I've always had this, I'm a musician myself. And so, like, I've always been drawn, especially to the music side of things. And, you know, maybe like the broader arts community in general, I would say, like, first of all, when I arrived, like just over 20 years ago, like I was struck by how cooperative the arts community is, like the way people help each other out, you know, the way musicians help each other out and support each other's gigs and, you know, play in each other's bands and promote each other and all that. And I think that applies across the board. Like, Kingston often feels like a town compared to Montreal or Toronto or New York, mm-hmm. obviously. But yeah, I think there's just from my experience, there's just been this ebb and flow of how an arts community thrives. And you know, when I first arrived, for example, we started this little collective called Apple Crisp that was in the basement of the Queen Street United Church. And we, you know, made zines and had a little Apple Crisp festival and a concert series and a record label. And it was basically because, you know, local bands like P.S. I Love You or Nick Warby or Ruben DeGruyter, the Gertrudes, like there was nowhere to play. Like it was just a dark time coming out of the I guess the 90s, you know, where mm-hmm. where there just wasn't a lot of opportunity to play. And of course that has changed tremendously, right? Like I remember the Mansion coming onto the scene and there was music every day of the week and the Grad Club had this thriving scene that was a lot of like programming from the Arts and Craft label. And more recently, of course, the Broom Factory or maybe the Hotel on Wolf Island or Musiki, that little hot spot of live music downtown. Like, and yet, you know, talk about the ebb and flow. Like, and I should mention the Homegrown Music Festival in June, like in May. And like, but it does ebb and flow. Like, you know, now the Mansion just closed, the Grad Club just closed. Like, so while the Broom Factory is really stepping up on the scene, there's a new music office. Like, so I guess that kind of answers your question is that we're in a position, again, because we're so scrappy and versatile and flexible that we can kind of like change how we do things according to the needs of the community. And so, you know, I just gave a bunch of examples of how the arts community or specifically the music community has changed over the years, and we can just program and support artists according to what's going on. And so there's lots of changes always, and we try to adjust to those changes.
Yeah, that's great. And so looking ahead a little bit, this year also marks an exciting new chapter for the festival. After helping lead SPAF for more than 20 years, you've recently welcomed Soul as a co-artistic director. So for listeners who might not know about this change, can you tell us what that role kind of involves and what you felt was important to bringing in new leadership at this point in the festival's history?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. The organization is going through succession in terms of leadership. You know, we've got this really amazing board of directors that I think this year they're going to be putting a call out for new board of directors. So if there are people that are listening that are interested in leadership positions within the organization, they should reach out or at least keep an eye out on our website and social media for the call for new board of directors. But more importantly is there is a new artistic director and her name is Saul Castaneda. She lives in the neighborhood. She's originally from Mexico and brings tons of cultural programming experiences from her background there. And so she's kind of moving into the leadership position with regards to the festival proper. And she's kind of in charge this year, you know, like it's an exciting opportunity for me, you know, like I've been doing it for so long. I've been told there's something called founder syndrome, which I don't exactly know what that is, but I have a feeling it's, you know, it's people that kind of have been involved since the beginning and try to like cling on to things and not accept change, or I don't want anything to do with that mentality, you know? So just, I feel really fortunate and really lucky that this incredibly talented woman has entered the scene here and is willing to take on all the chaos and all of the you know, challenges of organizing a not-for-profit multi-arts organization, the Skeleton Park Arts Festival. And she's thriving, you know, she's just taking the reins with tremendous energy and grace and new ideas. And I hope anyone that is at the festival or sees Saul Castaneda throughout the streets of Skeleton Park can like go up and chat with her and meet her and understand what her vision is for the festival and maybe share your ideas of what you like or don't like about the organization, because she's really receptive to that. And again, like it's just an exciting opportunity to bring in some new life, right? Some new energy, mm-hmm. new ideas, especially coming from a woman that has really unique programming sensibilities coming out of Mexico, like a whole different cultural background. And so, yeah, the Skeleton Park is really lucky to have this new artistic director. And I'm not going anywhere, you know, like I'm going to shift my focus. It's allowing me to shift my focus to other projects. And in particular, again, getting back to some of the things I said earlier, there's opportunity to initiate some artist housing projects in the Skeldon Park neighborhood. And so, you know, like I mentioned, the gentrification increase over the years. And so I'm going to really focus my energy on how to find affordable housing for artists in this neighborhood. And so I'm excited to be able to shift my focus to that and let Saul take over the festival. It's a great change and a great period of succession.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I'm excited to watch her grow and see the new ideas she brings to the festival. So looking forward to that for sure. And now just to kind of end on a little bit of a fun note before the interview wraps up. So you, like I've mentioned, you have been involved with SPAF from the very beginning for sure. And looking back, are there any moments over the last two decades that really capture what the festival means to you?
Yeah, good question, by the way. These are all wonderful questions. I'm really enjoying the interview.
Great.
And, you know, I think the thing that always pops into my mind is this neighborhood loves parades. You know, we do we do this Easter egg hunt in the spring, and there's a parade. We do a big gathering of hundreds of kids at Halloween, and there's a parade. And there's, you know, throughout the festival on June 21st, there's going to be a porch jazz parade where jazz musicians are performing on people's front porches. And then you parade through the streets led by the goat steppers, you know, horns blaring. And so I think that often really like is the image that really exemplifies the spirit of the festival, you know, like kind of doing things different, like taking back the streets, you know, alternative, unusual venues like people's front porches or lawns or parks or streets or alleyways. And it does remind me of this time, this gigantic parade band of mostly anarchist leading youth called the What Cheer Brigade out of Rhode Island, New York. They've taken over the festival a number of years. And I remember them parading us down to the Sleepless Cove Cafe and performing like in the middle of Princess Street. There was construction going on that year. And then I remember they not only did that, but then they led us around the corner into the alleyway on Wellington Street, across the street from Sally's Roti there. And like everyone crowded into this alleyway, and all of a sudden we look up and, you know, there are trumpet player and trombone players like on the fire escape and the roofs of the buildings and like playing down to us. And, you know, I know that sounds crazy and like slightly illegal, but it really exemplifies like the spirit of how we do things, you know, like the energy, the just joy of free, creative programming, like in the streets. And it's really an exciting time. And I think it inspires people, to be, you know, to be proud of the Skeldon Park neighborhood.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to end. Thank you so much, Greg, for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. And thank you for bringing Skeldon Park Arts Festival to Kingston. It is a wonderful, wonderful event with lots going on as we hear. So, yeah, definitely make sure to check it out, everyone. Lots happening, a little bit for everyone. So thank you, Greg.
My pleasure. Thanks to CFRC Radio, 101.9 FM.
And again, that was the incredible Greg Tilson, the founding director of Skeldon Park Arts Festival. And as you heard from him, this year's festival is truly going to be a great one. They've got an amazing lineup from local artists and musicians across Canada. So I think it's going to be a great event filled with, again, incredible music, visual arts performances, workshops, and just community activities all weekend long. So make sure you definitely go check it out. Like I mentioned earlier, everything in this festival is free, so it is very accessible to the public and is truly a great opportunity if you want to see more of the art scene and just the vibrant culture we have here in Kingston. So it is going to be an incredible weekend, so make sure you definitely check it out. And yeah, it's running from June 19th through the 21st in McBurney Park. And you can find the schedule and lineup online. And I highly recommend going to it, as again, I've loved going to it since I was a little girl, and it is a great place to be. So that is this week's episode of The Kingston Curator. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I will catch up with you all next week on what's going on in Kingston.
CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at cfrc.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more.